Welcome to CKDU 88.1 on your FM dial. This is, you guessed it, it is Youth Now Radio. And I hope you enjoyed that music that was playing before. I thought it was very, very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. But we have an interesting show lined up for you also. Stay tuned. I'm loving this music too. But stay tuned. We'll be right back after this track with Youth Now Radio here on CKDU this beautiful Monday afternoon.
To my daughter's eyes and realize I'ma learn through her. The Messiah might even return through her. If I'ma do it, I gotta change the world through her. Furs in the bins, gramps wanting them. Demons and old friends, pops, they hunting them. The chosen one from the land of the frozen sun, where drunk nights can remember more than sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explore the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just wanna be.
To the narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from. I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot. Corners will be selling rock. Africa been by the shit. Home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair. They act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked. City is a pity. Half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State, that's.
Welcome to the bright light, babe.
blinding. Girls need blinders so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the apple Eve. Caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold. In vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Yes. This is not Casey, just in case you're wondering, because I'm saying yes, and we all know that's Casey's trademark. This is Sobaz, and the guys have kind of like thrown me behind the board. I haven't been here in a while, so it feels, I don't know, I feel like a virgin. Just kidding. Anyway, how are people doing in Studio 2?
That's a good question.
Doing well. We're doing well.
You're doing well. Okay, why don't you guys chime in? I know this is Marshall. I recognize that tenor. Tell us how you're doing, how you've been, how your weekend has been, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, my weekend was great. It was my birthday weekend, so there was a lot of unabashed and unmitigated partying going on.
Now we have a lawyer in the room, eh?
And that's why I didn't elaborate. I just left it at that.
Oh, good.
Me, I had a really good weekend.
Lamia.
This is Lamia, sorry.
That's all right.
Went to a cool conference, which was in East Preston. Talked a lot about some issues and stuff like that.
Indeed. I was there too.
Yeah, and Marshall was there as well. Yeah, we had some really good discussions and stuff going, and anytime there's good discussion, I'm happy. So I had a good weekend.
Who else is in the house?
Yeah, what up? It's your boy Kay's over here. My weekend was alright. I just worked, but that's alright though. So yeah, it was good.
You sound a little sick, buddy.
No, man, I'm alright. Just tired.
Tired.
So working tired. All weekend. So tired. So tired.
Alright. It's Glenn, and
AKA the Ghost.
AKA the Ghost.
Are you still the Ghost, or are you just Superman now?
Yeah, I'm Superman.
The Ghost of Superman.
The Ghost of Superman.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, my weekend was good. I had a brunch with my family on Sunday. It was really great. I hate the sound of my voice on the radio.
Do you really?
Yeah. What?
Why?
That's crazy.
I don't know.
You sound so lovely.
Thank you.
I like your voice on the radio.
Thank you.
So you got a vote of confidence from Lamia?
It helps a little.
From a lady and a guy, I would...
Yeah, totally. If Lash said it, I'd be like, shut your mouth.
understood.
Yeah.
We got two guests in the house as well. Marshall, why don't you introduce your guest, and then I'll introduce mine.
All right, well, my guest, his name is John. He has a doctorate. He's a former professor at Dalhousie University, and he's very much involved in social psychology research and writing, and... His name is John, because that's who he is. He prefers John as opposed to his official title, so...
John it will be.
John it will be.
Lovely. Glad to have you here, John. Also, from Toronto, we have Margaret Parsons. She's the executive director of the African-Canadian Legal Clinic out of Toronto. She's in town for a few days, and I thought we met with Margaret, the Youth Now Collective, the iMove Collective. We met with Margaret a couple months ago in Ottawa. And so it's sort of like a reunion kind of show that's going on today. Because I know, Marshall, your former teacher, right? Is your professor? Yeah. John is a former professor, yes?
Former professor, yeah. He taught my two favorite classes. That's why I went out of my way to invite him in.
Oh, good. And Margaret, of course, is a friend of iMove. And we'll get into all of that for our listeners. Okay, what do you guys want me to do now? I mean, do you want me to play another track? Do you want us to get straight into the discussion? I mean, the floor's open.
Actually, okay, I got to, first of all, shout out.
How did I know Casey was going to jump right in, man?
Lean back a little.
I love you, Casey.
I should just hold this. Lean
back. Casey, I love you, man.
I love you too, brother.
All right, all
brethren.
Right. Brethren. All right, brethren.
I love you, man, brethren. Everything I receive.
I receive, seen indeed. See, the Caribbean stuff is rubbing off, Margaret. You see that?
I see that.
But yeah, I just gave the Ghost something to play. I want to give a shout out to Spade and them. If they listening, shout out to Eastside. You know how we do it every time, every Monday. But yeah, I told him he wanted to hear this song on the radio. He said I wouldn't play it, but I told him I would. So, Glenn, if you can put that on for me.
I got you.
I'd appreciate that.
No, indeed. It's going to roll.
The reason why I want to play is because the last artist, I can't remember the last time I heard something new from him. And I thought he's on a
hiatus.
A 10-year hiatus. Wow. So, but he just come out now.
Is he in jail?
He's not in jail. Not that I heard.
Is that code for jail? I don't know.
No. Okay. He's not in jail.
Or a drug problem.
I'm just saying, it could be a drug problem. That could what it could be, but I'm not sure. Sounds but dope. I heard the song and then I was like, wow, he's on it. I didn't believe it. So, yeah.
All right.
I want to play it. So, yeah, Glenn,
Do we need to give any parental guidance?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The song's probably about 4 minutes long, and there might be some strong content in there.
And we know, I mean...
As far as violence and stuff.
Okay. And the type of show that we do for those people who are just listening in, it is... We Youth Now is really about talking, saying it as it is. We keep it real here on the show. 100%. So, the music reflects the content of the show, which is very real and straight to the point.
So with that being said, I want to dedicate this song to all the real people out there who's listening.
Rough Riders, we back. You know the streets don't know how to act.
Let's go!
But he's not
remixed.
If you're real and you know it, clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
If you're real and you know it, clap your hands.
You know what I do to you. Turn your festivities right into a funeral. The body look beautiful. Now you can let them know it's real wherever kiss at. Your face get broke though. I don't know who can fix that. You might have to ask Ye that. I don't play that. I was moving that Vanna White before Say Jack. 500 stacks in the condo. Pronto. Handshakes. Eye contact when I convo. Fake and the phony don't mix. Real homies roll thick. Real rollies don't tick. You're lying. In your stupid head chains. How the fuck you expect people to believe them is real?
Now, who's fake, who's real? Top chick in the gang, where the crown still? Yeah, I vacated for a while. Mocha 10, got your man going wild. Maserati the body, charmed out the Bugatti. Can't nobody stop me, all they can do is watch me. Now freeze, chill. Where my ladies in the place, that's real.
He's phony, she's fake. That's the type of people I hate.
Sleep as a gremlin and wake up as a grin and be a four-headed monster by the afternoon. Had an insomnia scope and the lens don't zoom. Now I gotta run up on them. Boom! My flow sound like the definition of Attica. Extended the AR to give him more stamina. Knock, who's the next challenger? So I can embarrass him on camera.
Like Billy the Kid or Bill Gates. Deal with the real and never the real fake. Everybody hustling, they all deal weight. When they get around them thugs, they don't all feel safe. Bounce. Every rapper blood, right. Trip the right. Bone bang. Right. You be with right. The cops, right. You saw right. Fire gang. Right. Come to right. D-Block, you would've lost that chain. Yeah. Or M16 D-block. With an off-choke brain.
If you keep your hammer on your waist, clap your hands. Hey. No jewelry, just a couple rubber bands. Hey. Yeah, you real and you know it. Take the skinny jeans back. Hey. Take the auto-tune.
on off and stop acting all soft. Woo! If you love it in the hood, clap your hands. Late what? Night strip club, mommy do the dance. Yeah, what? She glutes, Donnie the gorilla got cake, yo. What? Lay low, eyes closed, I see who's fake.
He's phony, she's fake. That's the type of people I hate.
Okay. If you're real and you know it, clap your hands.
Okay.
If you're real and you know it, clap your hands.
Welcome back to Youth Now Radio on your FM dial here at CKDU 88.1 FM. We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, 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 we are back.
Yes, 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 indeed.
So, what's going on over there, guys?
Chaos.
What's going on over here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're all good. We're all good. We're really excited. We just want to get into the issue of the day. What I should mention, however.
The issue of the day?
Well, I'll just throw out the number that you can call in. For those of you who call in, the number is 494-2487. Again, 494-2487. Some of you might forget, but this is a call-in show. So we do welcome your calls and comments. If you do call, we'll put you straight on ear. So if you call and you want to know sort of, you know, you want to talk to the program director, you might be going on ear live. And once you're live on ear, we're going to have a conversation with you. And so make sure, you know, if you're phoning 494-2487, make sure it's because you want to contribute to the discussion.
All right.
Yes.
So before we get into the issue of the day, actually, I kind of want to frame it for those who may, you know, it might be their first time listening or anything like that. And plus, I want to share a little story of something that happened last night as we speak that I wasn't even planning for the show, but it just happened yesterday. So it's coming up and it's going on blast because that's how we do here at Youth Now. So very much a lot of times on Youth Now, we talk about issues of race.
Look at that. It's the phone already, man.
And
Bang, bang,
Seagull Street Gang. Anyway, so we talk about issues of race and issues and just issues that minorities deal with a lot. And actually, just last night, I was at a local drinking establishment, the Dome. And they're going on blast right now. And there was a guy there from Amsterdam. And they must have thought he couldn't speak English or whatever, because they said right in front of him, "We're not letting him in because he's black." So and he tells me this. He did end up getting in the bar. He probably yelled at them because he probably knew what they said. So then they knew they messed up. So they let him in. Cause I met this guy inside the bar and we were talking and stuff. And you know I found out about this after. And then me and him were just talking about how, really, of you know he's from Amsterdam. He's fairly well traveled. He spends a lot of time in Europe and you know in other parts of Europe as well. And I spent some time in other places in the islands and overseas and stuff. And it's just, we were talking about how racism is so much more prevalent in the North American society than just about anywhere else. And I guess the issue of the day that I wanted to touch on was kind of related to that, not exactly, but I want to talk about the impact of stereotypes, both of how they help us to see ourselves, or how we see and develop ourselves and who we are based on the stereotypes, as well as how other people view you. And I guess the way that story ties in is because I'm sure that a black man from Amsterdam, I mean, isn't the same quote-unquote black man that these people at the Dome are scared of, because he's not raised in the same society that we are here. But really, that person who they think they're barring from the bar probably doesn't exist anyway. You know what I mean? Like, there's a few people that cause problems, but that got nothing to do with the color of their skin or whatever. But they're treating him the same way, even though he's from a different place, you know what I'm saying? And then you get into like, so what really is the stereotype? And we said this before, is it just that your blackness is wrong? You know? So I just wanted to just throw that out there so that people could speak on it.
That's what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess so.
Yeah, Marsh, I think that's what it is, man. Our blackness is wrong to some people, man.
That's I'm just curious as to why they would think that the guy didn't speak English.
Oh, because I don't know that part of the story, but he was probably just speaking Dutch to his friends in the line. Okay, you know what I mean? And then he gets to the front of the line, he's still speaking Dutch. So, you know. Mm-hmm.
They just assume
that
brother off the boat can't speak no English. So. Mm-hmm.
So we'll say what we want to say right in front of him, right?
Yeah.
But little did they know we spoke perfect English, because me and him, we had like a pretty long conversation in the bar and stuff, because I was there with girls and he was trying to talk to one of the girls I was there with, and you know, so me and him were pretty much hanging out, right?
Do you guys think that it's a gender issue as well? Because I'm just thinking of, for me, going to the dome.
Don't do it.
Anyways, generally, like, girl going to a dome doesn't necessarily get the same kind of hassle as, you know, as a black lady. Me going to the dome, I wouldn't get necessarily, I don't know. I feel like the bouncers even kind of like joke and stuff with us. Like, just because, probably because we're having a good time, whatever, and stuff like that. We're looking to get into the club. So do you think that it's a difference between black male trying to get into the club, black female trying to get into the club?
I think that when we're specifically talking about the club, I think that there's a difference, but in the world, like general worldview, I don't think that the difference is as great. You know, like if you're talking about, if you're on a job working or something, you're gonna be treated lesser the same way a man will be treated lesser, or maybe even worse, right? Because you have the blackness and the gender separation. And actually, one other thing I did want to touch on about the stereotype though, because I think about this, you know, like I said, we talk about this a lot, and I think about this a lot on my own time. And it's like, you know, 50 years ago and before, you know, there were signs and we actually couldn't do things, and we weren't legally allowed to and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that, in a way, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's worse now, because that's not the right word, but
It is worse now,
but it's not. But the reason it's worse because it's covert. But not just that. What I'm trying to say is the way the stereotype probably started, you know, was probably based on some things that may have been true based on the social circumstances. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But before we get into why this stereotype might be true, because I'm sure people are itching to jump in on this. We got a caller on the line earlier. You there early?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. Thank you for calling in.
No worries. Do you guys have any RJD2?
Do we have any R... What is it?
RJD2.
RJD2. Do we have any of that, Ghost?
I don't have any on my iPod, no.
We can dig into crates during our next musical break and see what we got. We can't make no guarantees, though.
Give us your second selection. Give us a second choice.
Any Immortal Technique?
Oh man, you're throwing us some great stuff, but we don't got that stuff. But what we'll do, we'll try digging, and we'll see if we can find something for you during the next musical break. All right.
What about Jedi Mind Trick?
Oh man, I just deleted that off my iPod. But do you like Miles Berkeley?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play something by them. I think I got something by them. I hope.
How's that sound?
Yeah, that's good enough.
All right, Ernie, man. Thanks. Keep listening, man.
Thank you for calling in.
All right.
RJD2, though.
Yeah, we'll look for that too.
Okay.
All right, peace, man. Yeah. So, sorry. So, where did the stereotype come from? Is that question? Right?
I was just gonna say, and I just want to throw this out there because it's something that, like I said, I think about these things, right? And I think based on the social circumstances, probably, let's say, what years? It's 2009, and racism was outlawed, so to speak, in the 60s. So,
well, segregation,
say,
right?
Yeah. Let's say 40 plus years ago. Mm. You know, black people were held out of schools, and, you know, and they, so the stereotype may have been that black people were uneducated and couldn't do things, which would have been roughly true at that point in time because they weren't allowed to go to school, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Or the quality of their schools were less and things of that nature. And then, so I would say even back then, if you were to run into a situation based on race, for example, and the person is looking at you as being that uneducated person, and if you are not that uneducated person at that point in time, even with all the racism in the world, I think, I wasn't alive, so I don't know, but I think that maybe they'd be willing to look past your blackness and give you that same benefit of the doubt, which doesn't happen now. And I think a lot of the people,
don't know where the stereotype came from. They just live by it, you know, or they just make decisions based on information that's flawed. You know what I'm saying? And really, or based on no information at all, except the melanin content of the skin. You know what I'm saying?
So, John, Margaret, any thoughts on what Marshall's sharing?
This is John. Well, I think stereotypes are pervasive, and I mean, it isn't just based on color. It's like gender is an example, and everything. Where I mean, rich people versus poor people. The stereotypes are all over the place, and basically, they're at least from the point of view of psychologists, they're ways to condense knowledge. And of course, the condensed knowledge is based on a history of events involving the particular group that the stereotype's about. For instance, women. I mean, they're forced to work at home and be wives with children and not get educated, and so for many years that was true of women. They were homebodies. They weren't educated. They weren't allowed to do that. So the stereotypes sort of fit, and that's what Marsha was talking about. There's a sense in which there was the stereotype may have been true that the black people were uneducated at that time relative to other groups, but it was because the society had sort of prevented or set up the situation so that any attempt by black people to get educated was difficult for them. And whereas since the 60s, this has become more open. It hasn't become as open as we would like it, but it's become more available. And one point I would like to add to make a point is that things don't go away instantaneously. The history is there, and we have to work from where we were then. And part of the reason why North America's racism is worse than perhaps in Europe or certainly in Africa is that we've got this history, this long history that goes back to slavery, which has created a problem in our society.
I think to add to that, I mean, regardless of whether they're negative or positive stereotypes, all stereotypes are dangerous and can really have a very severe impact on individuals. But I think with respect to what Lamir had said around gender-based stereotypes, I think they, you know, they do exist for African-Canadian women. I think there are perceptions of black women, as there are perceptions of black men, that, you know, tend to pigeonhole us and tend to put us in a particular box and have always throughout history really affected our opportunities and our ability to progress. And, you know, laws, as Marshall said, we have laws to prevent, you know, stereotypes and discrimination or people acting on their stereotypes. However, we can't outlaw people's attitudes and we can't outlaw people's thinking. So regardless of all these legislation, we still see a rise in hate groups. And we've seen so many acts of hate this year that have had really detrimental acts where people have died as a result of people acting on their stereotypes and their racist attitudes. So, you know.
Sorry, folks. I'm wondering why we're getting all this feedback. But anyway, because it's interesting. There was did people hear about that incident that happened in, I'm not sure if it was in Vancouver somewhere, where a group of young white males kind of circled around a young black male and sort of started, you know, trying to attack him. But, you know, unlike, and somebody caught it on tape, of course.
Yeah, it was on YouTube.
I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was in British Columbia.
It was
in a suburb in British Columbia. And then obviously at the museum, I think it was the Smithsonian in Washington, where, you know, the person went in and killed that security guard, that African-American security guard.
Right.
Because he had just was out that day to kill African, something that was black.
So do you think in those kinds of attacks, how do stereotypes, do you think, play out in that type of conflict? Well, did they, did stereotypes play have a role at all, do you think?
Absolutely. I think in the British Columbia situation, they felt that young man didn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so they saw, they obviously already had inherent biases, as John had said, against the people that are black. They saw somebody and they were willing to act on it, and act on it in a really violent way. So yeah, absolutely. I think that was underlying the entire situation. And I think stereotypes lead to what we talk about as racial profiling, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I was going to say, I wanted to touch back on something that Margaret mentioned a minute ago when she said there's good stereotypes and there's bad stereotypes, but they all can be dangerous. And I think that's important to recognize, too, because not only are they dangerous, it gets into, you know, how we develop and shape ourselves. Like, for example, there's a stereotype, for example, that black people are better athletes, for example. And that's, you know, that would be, I guess, considered, quote-unquote, a good stereotype. But how about myself, where, you know, I mean, I'm a decent athlete, but growing up, I wasn't always a decent athlete. You know, I wasn't always the best athlete, so how did I incorporate that into my life? If I'm not as good of an athlete as someone else, does that make me less black because I'm supposed to be a better athlete? You know what I'm saying? And there's just different things like that as well that you have to take into consideration when you think about these kind of things, right? You know, myself and my brethren KC sitting beside me, we dress a little bit differently. Does that make either one of us more or less black? You know, we're from the same community, we're about the same age, same family, but we do things just a little bit differently. So, you know, how does that impact and influence?
I think that people who have, you know, any kind of morsel of sense in their head kind of, you know that, you know, diversity, there are differences in all communities. And, you know, just because somebody dresses a certain way, doesn't necessarily, you know, the question you were putting out there, Marshall, is rhetorical, but it's sort of, at this day and age, for people to still be kind of locked into that way of thinking seems really kind of, I don't know, I mean, first of all, how prevalent do you guys think that type of thinking is? Is that, you know, do you think most people kind of function in that sort of way? They look at you, how you're dressed, and therefore kind of make, you know, those judgments?
I'm not sure. Like, I can't really say. I don't really know how it was, like, back then, and, like, in terms of how people looked at other people. But the way I see stereotypes is that people who discriminate against people who hold these stereotypes and stuff like that, like, they're only holding themselves back in ways. Because for me, as a young black person in Nova Scotia, I'm gonna do what I have to do, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm defying all stereotypes, everything. Like, and it's just like, it's not necessarily holding me back. In it may hold me back in that I may not get hired or something like that, but it's still, I enjoy life, you know, to the fullest. And like, for people who look at me and expect me to act a certain way, whatever, I don't think that really affects me, because I'm still gonna be myself anyway. So I don't know, it's kind of weird.
I think it's important that you say that, but then a lot of people tend to conform. So when you have a negative stereotype or any type of stereotype about how this is what a black man is, this is what a black woman is, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
If you feel like you don't fit into that, if you're not a strong enough person to say, well, I don't fit it, so what? Like you just mentioned, some people try to conform to that, and that might be some things that are negative or some things that are positive. You know, like, for example, you know, I guess another stereotype is that us as black people will react violently when something happens. You know, that's what people think. So if someone insults me and I don't punch them in the face, you know what I mean? Am I viewed as less black? You know what I'm saying? Am I viewed as not being real? Am I viewed as not doing what I was supposed to do?
But that's coming that's coming from sort of black people too, right?
Exactly, yeah, okay. That's what I mean.
So you're saying that the stereotype functions within black people's minds as well as outside of...
It's about us internalizing those stereotypes. and acting on those stereotypes, and that's when it becomes problematic. Because you're reinforcing in the people that harbor those negative stereotypes, you're reinforcing them in their mind and basically validating it and saying, so they can walk away and see, that stereotype that I had, it's right. It's not a stereotype. Mm. That's actually how they behave. And I think I support wholeheartedly what Lemaire just said. It's about us defying those stereotypes. Mm. And it's about saying that we're not going to allow them to keep us back, and they're not going to define who we are, define how we behave, define how we dress, define how we speak. And that it doesn't becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean automatically then that, you know, if there's a stereotype that is, you know, circulating out there or has been there historically, you know, the stereotype, for example, that, all, you know, I don't know, that, you know, the sexual prowess of black males, right? That's an old, age-old one, right? So do you feel that, what am I talking about? Have you heard of the Mandingo?
I ain't gonna dispute it.
See, this is.
I heard of it, but I don't really know it.
You don't know? Well, I mean, basically on the plantation, the job of the, you know, of reproducing more slaves was for, you know, the stud would do that. A black male would be, you know, selected. His job would purely be to reproduce, you know, the slave population, and therefore, you know, they basically were used to breed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's this stereotype has grown out of that sort of that oppression, you know, that black males are only good for, you know, having sex. Mm-hmm. I mean, and part of it becomes, I mean, it's interesting because Marcel's your response to that is, you know, I won't dispute that.
I'm just trying to lighten the air in the room, you know.
No, but there are a lot of, I mean, hey, but just look at the rap videos though.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, exactly. You know, yes, you're trying to lighten the air, but I think there are a lot of, and I guess Margaret used the word internalization, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Have black males internalized that part of our historical experience to the point where, you know, if you're not sort of, you know, sexually aggressive and you know, that your masculinity is thrown into question. And hey, I'm just throwing it out there.
I think for a lot of black men, it defines it defines them in a sense that, or they've allowed that stereotype to define them. So how many women they can have, mm-hmm. and how many baby mothers they can have, you know, I think, and that is what defines them as a man, not the, you know, educational level, not the kind of job you have, not if you're able to provide for your children, be a responsible citizen, but it's again, you know, playing the stud role, the Mandingo role, and that's a stereotype that I think it's really incumbent on black men to justify in every way.
But, and part of me though says, what if, I mean, because part of me says the greatest gift that anybody can give somebody else is the gift for them to be themselves. And I mean, with black people, you know, there's historically been so much garbage dumped on the black psyche.
Yeah.
That, I mean, do we even know who we are any longer? You know what I mean? You know, if, and also if you're living your life sort of to avoid a stereotype, I mean, does that mean you've got to sort of place yourself in some sort of a, even you know, you have to kind of, because, you know, do you have to sort of marginalize yourself to the extent that, you know, that you cannot be yourself because, you know, you don't want to fall into the trap of, you know, playing out a stereotype?
I think that's a question for the psychologist.
Professor John.
Well, I've been sort of interested in the question here of where the stereotypes are coming from. I mean, like, take the aggressive black male. The aggressive black male is not historically a strong stereotype for black males. Believe it or not, I mean, it was a relatively weak stereotype until Malcolm X came on the scene. And the idea of an assertive male that wasn't going to be told what to do by white people was quite a remarkable thing at the time. And I think he's become a model in some way for the identities of black males, and and a whole new genre of stereotypes have built out of that.
But Malcolm's. I mean, one of the things that kind of, I mean, those people who have seen was it X, the Spike Lee film. If you haven't read the autobiography of Malcolm X, but I mean, one of the things that was interesting was that parallel with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. You know, Martin Luther King was sort of, you know, you remember that scene in the movie, and you know, this is a movie, I know, but and John, you can correct me if this is not historically true and accurate, but the impression I got from that film too was that, you know, Malcolm X, by the time that he you know, had sort of matured in Nation of Islam, he sort of was very much not, you know, he wasn't sexually aggressive. You disagree?
No, he wasn't sexually aggressive.
Right, and it was interesting because in the scene in the film, there was a scene when the FBI were tapping the phones and they were listening to Malcolm X, and they kind of laughed and said, well, this guy makes Martin Luther King look like, you know, X makes Martin, you know, he's like a saint. He makes Martin Luther King look really, really quite negative because of the whole, you know, extramarital relationships that supposedly Martin Luther King had. But so it's interesting because, I mean, there was a more spiritual masculinity that came along with X in the later years. I know in the early years it was different, but in the later years it was very much much more stoic, I think. Mm-hmm. Would you disagree?
No. I don't disagree.
But you're saying, though, that the Malcolm X figure kind of brought back the sexually potent...
I didn't mean sexually.
Oh, okay.
I meant by assertive black man rather than one who's passive or accepting, or like Martin Luther King, you know, sort of open-minded in terms of integration and stuff of that sort, whereas... I mean, the image of a black man in the southern United States was not one of an aggressive individual. If a black became aggressive at all, a black man became aggressive at all in southern United States, he usually got killed.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there was a certain degree of stereotype about the aggressive black male, it wasn't as strong or assertive black male. It wasn't as strong as it became when Malcolm X came on the scene, and he just would just stand up to people that were white instead of trying to be agreeable in some way or other.
And I think Malcolm is a good example of someone who had internalized the stereotypes, mm-hmm. allowed the stereotypes to define his life, and then defying them, because in his early life, when he wanted to be either a doctor or a lawyer, and he was like very smart as in high school, his teacher told him, laughed and basically told him, you know, go into the trades or become a carpenter, and that really turned him off.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up becoming a pimp, a life of crime. He did some time, became more spiritual, you know, through the Nation of Islam. And he, again, as Lemaire said, defied those stereotypes, you know, where he, you know, became a family man, a community leader. And I think that he gained voice. And as John said, that's when he became more assertive,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
And in terms of being able to really take those stereotypes and spin them on his head. So despite the fact that he had spent time in jail, you know, despite the fact that his educational dreams had been shattered by his high school teacher, he still became a world leader, because I don't think he was just an American
mm-hmm.
leader. He was a world leader. And even today, we still talk and revere Malcolm X as one of our icons.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, too, because I think what I find interesting about Malcolm X is that the stereotypes... I think it has to be, you know, you really have to do the personal and individualized work that goes along with unpacking those stereotypes. How do these stereotypes impact me personally? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, some people, a lot of people may say, you know what, what's wrong with being, you know, seen as sexually potent? And I think, you know, we're living in a culture...
Sexually potent.
Yeah. Well, how would you describe it, Case?
He overtired, man. Just keep talking. Casey, he's been working too hard. He's wound too tight right now.
He's wound up tight. That's cool. Well, in sexually aggressive, you know, some young people in particular, like in this day and age right now, 2009, sex is everywhere on the television.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I can see a lot of young people saying, you know, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't I want to, you know, it's a position of strength to be viewed as somebody who is sexually assertive and desirable. And I mean, that's the whole kind of social kind of currency that black men, I mean, that's why so many black males buy into it, because there's social currency there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it won't be immediately obvious to a lot of people how that stereotype could function to debilitate them, how it could function really to negatively against them.
Okay, but what if it's not a stereotype? What if it's a fact?
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that for a lot of people, that is something that has become a fact for them. You know, that's the way that they want to express themselves, their sexual selves. And I mean, we're living in a day and age where that type of expression actually is quite, you know, is the norm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm somewhat confused on where you're going with. Are you saying that?
He's loosening up.
Yeah,
go ahead, man.
Are
you saying that?
What is it I'm saying?
Males. That's what I'm trying to figure out what you're saying, so I can try to gather my thoughts.
Like, yes.
I'm somewhat confused. Are you saying that? What are you saying, Chobaz, man?
All right, I think I know what Casey's trying to ask, and
yeah.
I think I can fill in both blanks here.
Okay, cool.
I think what Chobaz is saying, and maybe what you're asking too, I think maybe, let's see if I got this right.
Should we go into
black males? Yeah, we'll go to the track in a second, man. Just let me finish the thought, then we'll go into the track.
Absolutely.
But I think what it is he's saying that us as males, or black males in particular, we shape ourselves to be sexually potent,
mm-hmm.
growing up, because that's the image we get of ourselves. So that's how we develop ourselves to be.
So we make a point to be sexually potent.
Yeah, we make it a point. We make it a point to go out of our way to develop ourselves in that way, I think, is the point that Sobez is trying to make.
Oh.
Maybe.
Subconsciously, you're saying, like, just because people say we're supposed to be good at it, so we
go out of our way,
to be good at it.
Right, and it becomes a part of your identity. And it becomes a way of how you see yourself, and it becomes who you are. So then it becomes very difficult then, you know, when you're socialized in that environment, it's like the air you breathe. How can you, you know, it becomes a part of you. It's a natural, normal. So what I'm saying, it becomes challenging to then be able to say, okay, wait a minute. Is that the thing that really defines me? Is my dick? Is that the thing that defines me? You know what I mean? Because for a lot of young men, all right, it becomes a one-dimensional identity.
Yes.
And that's where it becomes a problem. And that's why I said, like, that's why when Margaret was talking about, you know, Malcolm X, and he was caught up in all of that, right?
Yeah.
And how he extricated himself, how he got himself out of that, you know, that's a life's work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of young people who will never, there's a lot of people, period, men and women, but there's a lot of people who will never come to that type of awakening.
And if he didn't have the opportunity to come to that type of awakening, he wouldn't have realized the potential that he had. He wouldn't have realized the oratory skills that he had, and the mind that he had, and to achieve the things that he did. So, you know, so many, because we allow stereotypes to define us, it limits us in so many ways, and it limits our ability and young people from finding out truly the potential that they have and the abilities that they have and the success that they can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for the ghost.
Yes, sir.
You got that jam queued up for me right quick?
Yeah, but we're going to go into a Gnarls Barkley one first.
Oh,
for
for
early.
That request. Oh, yeah, cool.
We couldn't find any RJD2. Sorry, man.
Okay. That's cool. Well, let's go into that track. The number to call is 494-2487. I hope we're not scaring you guys out there in radio land.
Yeah, man. We've been talking for a minute. We're getting heavy on
let's
today.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Okay. Let's go to the track.
All the good things that baby.
Thanks for saying that.
Surrounded by all white, maybe it's just cloudy. Escorted by two men who knew everything about me. Both of them so strong, kept saying, hold on. Feel like my soul's gone naked, no clothes on. I know this can't be my fate. I scream, wait, as they drop me in front of a gate. They left no trace. I could see my every breath like a cold day. Stood before a man with no face. He said to me,
please don't make this any harder.
Who the fuck is you?
My child, I'm your father.
I only got one dad.
Is that a fact to you? He left you when you was young. I brought him back to you. You're real close to heaven. You get to step in. Now tell me what you've done to deserve to be let in.
Look, I'm far from a Christian, not big on religion, but ain't done too much wrong my entire time living. Never killed, never tried to. Though I've been lied to, was once suicidal. Never read the Bible, I've always been a caretaker. Tried to nurse people, at times it backfired. Hurt people, plus I never used your name in vain. But you should know everything I'm being asked to explain.
I know you stole from your mother's purse.
You can't count that was way back when.
is still a sin.
But I was 10.
You robbed people stolen.
Yeah, and you made me see jail.
But I also see you lay your hands on a female. Sold drugs to parents, none of that was needed. Abandon your child or every girl you cheated. Done wrong to people that only want the best for you. Anytime you thought you were alone, I was next to
when
you.
When it come to baby moms, God, you gave me the worst
but
one.
But that was your second child, Joe. You shouldn't have killed the first one.
I ain't have a job, ain't have a pot to piss in.
Look, I gave you a gift and you made the wrong decision. Held on to resentments even in doing business. I lead by example. I teach forgiveness. Your entry cannot be guaranteed. Not when you live with anger, envy, greed, pride, sloth, lust, even gluttony. Everything you shouldn't if you would've joined my covenant.
Look, I'm only human, I ain't perfect.
That I understand. When I take you out of jam, you don't even think to worship. And when you do, you never talk about what you can do for me. It's what I can do for you. I blessed you with health, family, and wealth. With all the blessings you've received, you still always want help.
Yeah, there's been times in my life I needed help to make money. But why everything I love you managed to take from me? Yet you stand there and question a nigga that tries hard and finds a way. When you keep dealing them fucked up cards, you make mistakes like me. Far as I can see, I think it's a mockery. We're never rich niggas win the lottery. Gave us push twice, God, I hate to be rude. But you let skinny niggas starve, give obese niggas food. The nerve when you telling me I don't deserve to stay here. When you gave us drugs and guns, you put AIDS here. Take a look at you, your actions are cold-hearted. The hard shit is you bring babies in the world retarded. I know most my actions put me in a cell, but how you mad at me when you put me in the hell?
See, my child, you need gratitude, maybe just a sample. I never give a person anything it can't handle. Don't tell me about everything you had to go through. There's reasons for my actions, even if I never showed you. Kept trying with you. All you did was hurt me. Still gave you chances to prove that you was worthy. And so I sat with you on a train. I asked you for change. You kept calling me names. Probably didn't notice I was the store clerk. You put the gun to me, get money for more work. My child, I know you have it in you to indeed stop. This is not your final call and just a brief stop. Hope you heed my words and understand. So when I see you back, you should be a better man. Look at life different. The next time we see each other, there'll be no need for talk whenever we meet each other.
Welcome back to Youth Now here on CKDU 88.1.
The business.
Yes, it is the business indeed. 88.1 anymore. It used to be 88.1. It now is 90.1, I believe.
90.1?
What is it now? What is it?
It's 88.1.
Is it 88.1?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Okay. It's been a long day. That's all I'll say.
What you been smoking?
So I ain't been smoking nothing, brother. I don't do that. I get naturally high on life.
Me too.
I get naturally high too.
Yeah.
you sound naturally high, Case.
I get naturally high on life. On life. No foreign subjects entering my, or no foreign objects or whatever that stuff is into my body. But anyway, we should do the weather.
Yeah.
Should we? Okay.
This is your weather girl, Lamia.
What up?
Here with the weather. And I will inform you that there will be no rain. Well, so the weather forecast calls for no rain next week. We don't know what will happen, but anyways, tonight it's going to be cloudy and it's going to drop down to 12 degrees. Tuesday, it's going to be mainly sunny, and 14 degrees. And 20 is going to be the high for that afternoon. Wednesday.
Natural high, by the way.
Natural high. Wednesday, we have sun. 20 degrees is going to be our high, 10 degrees our low. Thursday is going to be cloudy periods, high of 21 and a low of 13. Friday, September 4th, cloudy with sunny breaks, high of 19 degrees, a low of 13. Saturday, it's going to be cloudy periods, 20 degrees high, 14 degrees low. Sunday, it's just going to be sunny, 20 degrees as our high and 10 degrees as our low. And Monday, it's going to be mainly sunny again. 18 degrees is our high and 12 degrees is our low. Lots of sun. I'm excited.
Summer is here.
That's what I like to hear.
No, but it's cold, though. It's like 17 degrees high. You know, like that's kind of cold.
Yeah, but them highs are always wrong.
Bring out your hoodies.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Hoodie weather.
PSAs. What we got for PSAs? Public service announcements.
And now, your PSAs.
Yes, indeed.
Before I even get into this, though, how did I get this job back is the real question.
That's the that's the real.
That
that's
nobody does like it better. Nobody like does it better.
All right. I guess if I'm the best, then I can do it.
Yeah, you are indeed.
All right.
Second to me.
All right. Join us Sunday, September 27th for the 2009 Scotiabank AIDS Walk for Life in support of people living with HIV/AIDS in Nova Scotia. Contact Laura Toole at 425-4882, extension 228, or email walk at acns.ns.ca to register. The Canadian National Institute of the Blind is seeking volunteers to join our team. Several key positions are available, including office assistant and consumer satisfaction survey caller. If you are interested in becoming a volunteer with CNIB and helping people with vision problems, please contact Mark McIntosh at 453-1480, extension 226, or Mark, M-A-R-K, dot McIntosh, M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H, at CNIB.ca. And the Center for Arts Tapes, in partnership with the Dalhousie University Art Gallery, has an open call to Canadian artists and distributors for videos dealing with the theme of caustic assets. Caustic means is an additive, meaning capable of burning, corroding, or destroying living tissue, or severely critical or sarcastic, as in a caustic remark. The videos will be presented in October and November 2009 at a one-night screening, and will also be presented in Dalhousie University Art Gallery's media room for 5 weeks. Artist fees will be paid. Submissions works are up to 20 minutes, completed since on or after the year 2000. Please send a description of the video and the biography of the artist with your submission, preferably on DVD or VHS. The deadline is Friday, September 11th. Send submissions to the Center for Arts Tapes, Attention Tourism and Travel, 5600 Sackville Street, Suite 207, Halifax, Nova Scotia, B3J1L2, or call 902-420-4415, or email cfat.programming@ns.simpatico.ca.
And that's our public service announcements, folks. Guess what? Glenn found... Was that it? Sorry.
Yeah, that was it.
Cool.
That's it.
Glenn went looking in the vault. So you
I can't even take credit for that. That was all Lash.
Was that Lash?
Yeah.
It was Lash.
He knew where to look.
Lash dug up some RJD2. We're going to play some...
Early.
We're going to play that for you early in a bit, all right? So we've got some Clean Living coming up for you. That's a track from RJD2. Back to the discussion, ladies and gentlemen, over there in Studio 2.
Yeah.
It's always me.
What's on people's minds? I don't know. You guys are really kind of quiet over there. I don't know. John and Margaret, too, you guys are like really sitting back from the microphone. And
are you guys on that Clean Living?
We're just relaxing.
I'm enjoying this.
You're enjoying it?
We're having a lot of fun.
Where are people's minds at? I know Casey wants to go to sleep. I'm just playing.
I think he might be sleeping right now.
Yeah, where is he?
He vacated the studio. He might have just went and
went to the lobby
to take a nap.
But Casey's he's a hard-working man, right? So we won't poke no fun at Casey.
Oh, he's back.
He heard us out there talking about what he said. You got to say just for the record.
Who that call my name? Who that speaking my name?
Who that is? I'm wondering where people's heads are at. I'm wondering, you know, what are people thinking about?
This is John.
Yeah,
what up, John?
I'm still stuck on the transformations in the black self-image in North American society. For instance, I'm thinking about black as beautiful and how that became the stereotype, in a sense, for blacks and whites. Whites actually started to think of black people as beautiful, which they hadn't thought of them as before, certainly not. And it's the pride that black people began to have when they started thinking of themselves as beautiful. Because earlier, the evidence was showing that they didn't think of themselves as beautiful. Black children would prefer white dolls to black dolls. But then after the change in the movement that developed in the 50s and 60s, black children preferred black dolls to white dolls. So this change is a change in a stereotype. It's a change in the self-identity and perception of self that occurred in the black population. I think it's a beautiful thing that it turned up and happened during those wonderful years that I happened to be lived through.
Well, John, you know, it's really interesting that a young lady in one of the states in the U.S., I'm not sure which one it is, but she recently, very recently, did another doll experiment, And I have the video. It's and actually the same. What was the lawyer who did that? I forget, during the segregation years. Who kind of, that was one of the ways that the lawyer that the to prove that, you know, that segregation was damaging. I think that doll experiment was used, but that doll experiment was replicated recently. And guess what? There were young black children who were choosing the white doll over the. Choosing the white doll rather over the black doll still.
Really?
Yeah, and that was very shocking to a lot of people. I can remember that it was a young high school student actually who recreated that whole experiment and you know, put it back out there again to show that that, you know, I mean, part of the thing is that the culture we live in too, and the messages that people, I mean, young people are receiving. I mean, you know, in this day and age, still, it's not a Mm-hmm. Not a comforting thought.
But I think it shows that we still have a lot of work to do in dismantling those stereotypes. The fact that, you know, that study is still showing that there are, you know, black kids out there that still have concerns or there are identity problems. But I think what John said about the whole Black is Beautiful movement, because I remember I was as a child and I had older siblings that were in university and really a part of that movement. And I think it wasn't just a movement of resistance. That was part one aspect of it. And we saw a lot of great legislative changes. But I think it was also a unifying movement and a unifying theme that was just across and created out of their coming out. Or in a way, you know, there was a Pan-African movement. And I think in a lot of ways that it was redefining ourselves by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beauty of and, you know, you saw it was led to great civil rights progress in the United States and desegregation happening,
mm-hmm.
you know. So and I think that it saw a voice within, and it came out of the youth, and it came out of the black youth culture, which was really important because it saw emergence of a voice that had never been heard before. So.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting too, I think, is all of these moments of redefinition. It's interesting how it's received by the larger culture, or white culture, if you will, or the dominant culture, however we want to phrase it. And very often, you know, it's, you know, I don't know, how do you think it's been, John, how do you think it's been received by the wider, well, dominant culture in terms of all of the evolution of blackness in a way? I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but the you know, blackness has gone through a lot of changes. I mean, from Negro to colored to black to African American or African Nova Scotian, or, you know what I mean? These I'm not sure that first of all, I mean, the question I'll throw out there: are there another group of people who we could kind of say as a comparison have gone through similar type of changes, evolution?
Yeah. Yes, women. Mm-hmm. Okay. Women have gone through almost the identical sort of change, politicizing and themselves and forming their own identity and tracing the history of women activities and trying to, at first it was a big deal of just trying to get away from the male stereotype, and we don't want any men around, we want to just talk among ourselves and try to figure out what we are. And but eventually, you know, it led to an acceptance by men of the women notion of identity and history and of what's going on, and look at where we are now. There's more women in college now than men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, the external kind of, like, I mean, women have. I'm thinking in terms of the way we have self-defined. You know, first of all, how society has defined using a label. Like, I mean, I'm not sure that, you know, black people said, "Oh, look, I'm a Negro." I don't think, you know, look at me, I'm a Negro. I think that was very much a sort of a North American invention. I don't know if that's accurate, but
that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, but then there was this sense of, you know, then colored, then the black, and then, you know, Afro. Yeah. You know, so women, yeah, I mean, and even I totally do see the link between the sort of struggle that women have fought, because I mean at the same time, was it Frederick Douglass was an abolitionist, but at the same time he actually was a feminist, as some people would argue too, just in terms of, you know, the standing arm in arm with women as they struggled at the same time. And I think it almost became competitive almost too between abolition and women's rights. But still, I don't see kind of quite the same kind of visible transformations. You know what I mean? Women are women, and still women. I mean, black people are now more, you know, we're using terms like African Nova Scotian to describe.
But I think a parallel or a good parallel will be the Aboriginal community,
okay,
that have gone from, you know, Indian to Native to Aboriginal or Indigenous and First Nations in redefining themselves, redefining, reclaiming their culture, reclaiming Aboriginal spirituality, claiming their, you know, their First Nation status in this country, and certainly having gone through colonization, what colonization and how it's ravished their community, similar to the way slavery ravished our community and our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can parallel that in terms of an emergence of Aboriginal pride and a reclaiming of their identity and their culture.
Interesting. So, Marshall.
Yes.
What's on your mind? Or are you just listening and enjoying?
I'm just listening and enjoying, man. I brought up a good topic, and everybody's
very
running
rich,
with it. And I mean, I'm really enjoying the discussion that we're having.
Okay. And Lamia, how are you doing? You doing all right, too?
Yeah, I'm doing really good.
Okay, cool.
I was just going to say, it's a huge topic.
It is
to
a huge
talk about all this stuff.
It is.
I couldn't really imagine myself being anything but black.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you don't see yourself as an African Nova Scotian?
Oh, well, yeah, same thing. I mean, I'm just trying to...
I prefer black. Can I explain why?
Yeah. Well, how about you explain why after the track? We're going to play a track.
I'll explain after the track.
You can explain
black
after the track. So I want to get Early's piece out, the R2-D2?
RJ-D2.
Yeah, what's so funny about that? It sounds exactly like the Star Wars kind of piece.
That's why I'm not laughing. R2.
I did.
Yes. I found this RJ-D2.
You're aging yourself.
You know what? I'm proud. I have no problems telling people my age.
I think almost everyone in here is familiar with Star Wars, though, man. A little bit.
Me, I hate Star Wars.
Yeah, you hate Star Wars?
No, but you still know who R2-D2 is, though.
No, I don't.
It's E.D. again?
Yeah, exactly. The little small robot. Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, RJ-D2. Is that right? RJ-D2?
Yeah, that's right. That's what the CD says.
Okay. So, Early, this one's for you, buddy. Enjoy.
Chill.
Yes, there's some RJD2 for you early. Hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for calling in. Yes, now back to the business at hand.
The business at hand.
I wouldn't even try to go there, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I said that I prefer black over African, Canadian, African, Nova Scotian, et cetera, whatever you want to put the African in front of, for a number of reasons, mainly because people of African descent are of all colors. Everybody is of African descent. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, brown, you know, or
Puerto Rican or Haitian.
Yeah, well, exactly. No matter.
Is that a color?
But even currently living in Africa, if you go to Africa, there's people of all colors in there. And there always has been people of all colors. So really, everyone is of African descent. So to say African-Canadian, it's really inaccurate, for one. And I think that the reason I say that I prefer black is because, I mean, it's, you could say we're brown, but then what about people who are Arab that are also brown? You know, we're dark, you know what I mean? It's just kind of easier, I would say.
Okay,
I feel that African Nova Scotian just, it's I feel it's inaccurate because there's people of all colors from Africa, so I think it's, I think it, in a way it kind of misses the mark. I understand why the change, I guess, is occurring, I guess for maybe political correctness or whatnot, but I feel that it kind of misses the mark. That's my opinion.
Okay, so do people agree? Can we get some conflict up in the house, please?
I'm just kidding. I respectfully disagree, Marshall. I think...
I was kidding. Even though no one laughed, it wasn't a funny joke, I know.
Well, you missed that one, but
yeah, I guess so. It's too quick.
But I think African, again, is about us reclaiming our lost identity and redefining ourselves. And black was a term that we did use first to define ourselves, coming out again from what John said of that black is beautiful struggle. But those that are not of African descent living in the continent or out of Africa are part of our colonizers and or benefited from that whole system of colonization. And so while you may have South Asians and Arabs and whites and now a lot of Asians that are in Africa, but they're not Africans in terms of racially, they're not Africans. They may be Tanzanian in terms of their nationality or South African. You have to differentiate between nationality and in terms of their race. Now you also see, as a result of us calling ourselves African, you now see people calling themselves Asians. So they're not Oriental or they're not, they're Asians. That's who they are racially. And so while I might, let's say, have a child that may be born in China or Japan, I cannot call that child Asian because racially they're not Asian. Nationally, they may be a Chinese or a Japanese or a Korean. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think African people are trying to say, is that we are Africans. We were taken from Africa. We lost all of everything, that our language, our culture, our religions, so much that made up our race. And we are reclaiming that race and identifying ourselves racially as Africans. We're not talking about nationality again. We're talking about race. And that's why, to me, black is very limiting. It limits us to just a color. It doesn't speak to that heritage, that lost heritage, that rich heritage that we have. And that's why I think there's that very strong movement to call ourselves African.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with Margaret Marsh. You're my boy, and I love you. But I prefer the term African Nova Scotian because, as I said, when we first met Margaret at the conference, and I said very much so, like, down, especially down here in Nova Scotia, where it's been colonized, like, I don't know. It's like there's colonization and then there's like Nova Scotia colonization. So you get my point. And
difference, man?
Well, the difference is, well, Nova Scotia colonization is, I don't know, I'd say severe to the point where it stripped us of all of, like, we don't, like, the rites of passage in the African terms that they were using in Toronto, that everyone else knew what they were talking about. Everyone, black person from Nova Scotia, was like, man, what they talking about? What they talking about? But it was common knowledge for everyone else, except for those who were from the East Coast. So, like, and I felt, I don't know, I felt almost to be, like, I don't know, like, ashamed almost, like, to the point where I didn't really deserve to call myself African Nova Scotian because I didn't know all this stuff. But the reason why they know all that stuff is because we've been colonized the Nova Scotian way.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's almost like resident schools for Aboriginals. Like we don't in Nova Scotia, we have. I think without the Black Culture Center, we wouldn't have any
knowledge
of anything. Like we would just be. We would probably think we were natives. Really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I mean, and you raised an interesting point. I mean, for those of you listening and wondering what you know, the conference that we're talking about, I mean, we met Margaret Parsons in Ottawa. We were invited to go to a conference there by the African Canadian Legal Clinic, and we being in my own voice. There's an airplane going over. Can you guys hear that over the headphones?
Yeah. Well,
isn't that something? Yeah. Right. Anyway, how rude. But yeah, it was a very special event for us here to attend this conference in Ottawa. But I think the case, I mean, you raise a very good point there when that issue of sort of awareness was raised. I remember what you said, something to the effect that, you know, the rites of passage here is really sort of, you know, this socioeconomic sort of hardship that, you know, African Nova Scotians are subjected to.
Yeah.
And that surviving that is what kind of gives a lot of people who come out on the other side of that or who have somehow managed to not, you know, lose themselves in that whole kind of swamp, you know, economic swamp. That's the rite of passage. Those are the mentors that kind of, you know, the people who are identified as people who, you know, have kind of transitioned in a way. And so it's you know, I think that the language, you know, may not be here amongst certain amongst certain groups of people. But I think the experiences, that's one of the reasons why no matter where you go, I think in the world, why, you know, a black person will always kind of acknowledge another black person. I mean, there's always that, you know, this hello that, you know, that I definitely see here in Nova Scotia and that, you know, I see elsewhere. And I've lived in England and the Caribbean, and there's that shared experience, being subjugated to or being subject to a certain kind of treatment, has really created a collective consciousness when it comes to black people, and also that collective solutions. Mm-hmm. As well.
And that collective solution is redefining ourselves as Africans or reclaiming as a racial identity. Right?
So we may not name it a thing, but I think we definitely, you know, the experience is common.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hello. We have the swing arrangement has just entered into the house. And do we have parents here?
Yes, we have parents.
Wow. Well, welcome to the to CKU.
Special swing arrangement.
Absolutely. The next show that's coming up is Swing Arrangements with Charles Swen, and his parents are here, so that's cool. So stay tuned for that. I think it's going to be a special show.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
John's just relaxing, man. You know,
yeah, well, I'm hiding right now.
So here, I'm pulling out. I'm taking out the mask, man. I mean, what's going on your mind? I mean, how do you feel about? I mean, did we talk about that book that you wrote?
Oh, he's written two.
He's written a number of books and a number of papers.
Yeah.
Well, fill us in. But there was a Malcolm X book that you had written that I was particularly interested in.
No, it wasn't a book. It was a paper called The Identities of Malcolm X. And I trace his life history in terms of the different identities he adopted through his life. One of the interesting things about him is that is these big shifts between different identities. Like, initially, his parents raised him in the Marcus Garvey movement, mm-hmm. and in that movement, there was this sort of black people working together and being assertive for themselves. And late in life, he returned to that kind of concept of identity. But in between, he moved when his family was broken up because of social services and his father was killed. He shifted to trying to identify with whites, and he was like really good in school and stuff until he was told by his teacher that he couldn't become a lawyer, for instance. So he dropped that identity and he shifted to becoming a hustler. But then when that didn't work out very well for him because he was on drugs and stuff and in jail, then he got religion and he adopted the fundamentalist orientation of Nation of Islam. But then he outgrew that as well. And he moved more towards where his parents were to begin with, which is this Pan-Africanism. Mm-hmm. And the return to Africa and the view of we are Africans and our identity is the identity of Africans. And we should be proud of that identity instead of feeling like there's just a bunch of ignorant people in Africa and that's mm-hmm. it's a bad thing. And the good thing is to be like the white people or like the North Americans in general. Civilization and all that stuff in Western civilization, and now Western civilization has gone down the tubes now, and not just because Africa has taken its own move, but Asia and other areas as well.
Indeed,
I was just going to say the issue with civilization is a whole different show. What really is civilization? You know what I'm saying?
That's just John saying he wants to come back, Marshall.
Well, John will be back next week, same time, same place. What we got to do though? Can we get some? I guess we got about like 5 minutes, if even that, remaining in the show. It'd be good to get some final thoughts.
3 minutes, bud.
Is it three? My goodness.
It's right in front of you.
Some final thoughts, please, from everybody.
I would just like to thank our guests for coming in today and joining into this beautiful discussion that we had. I'm excited, and the show is over. You know what I mean? And I'm still. I wish we had another 2 hours, you know,
indeed.
But I mean, I had a really good show. And like I said, I just want to thank our guests for coming in and joining us. And now I'm going to go home and enjoy the rest of I guess my birthday weekend is over, but I suppose an extra day on it can't hurt.
No, whatever.
Party all week.
Anybody else?
I'm just feeling really relaxed and, well, I don't know. Yeah, just really good. We had a really good show, as we always do. The topic is definitely something that, you know, will stay with me when I go home and start thinking about stuff. And yeah,
good.
And black is beautiful.
I just want to say thank you to Sobaz and iMove for the amazing work you guys are doing and for the rich discussion we had today and for all that you work that you're doing for youth and for African Nova Scotian youth. It was a real pleasure and an honor, and I look forward to coming back again.
This is John. I had a great time, and I've learned a lot from being here, and I really like the dialogue and the free-floating conversation. It just made me feel really good to be on the show. And I might even be willing